All right, gentlemen. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for teaching us your word. We thank you for giving us all the instruction we need to live a life of godliness. And Lord, I just pray this morning that you would fill each and every man here with the Holy Spirit. As we speak now, Lord, I just pray that you would fill us, you would open our eyes, you would open our ears, you would humble all of us to hear what you have to say, Lord. Let us laugh, let us have fun, but let us take seriously what you have to say about how we're to conduct our lives in this time, Lord, in this time that we're facing. Lord, I pray for these elections coming up. I pray for our nation. I pray for the way that we're supposed to behave and the way that we're supposed to conduct ourselves as Christians, as light in a dark place. So, Lord, I give you this time. I give you these men, Lord. Let us dive in, Lord, and be with us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, gentlemen. Well, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. We're going to have some fun this morning. All right. So, as many of you know who go to this church, back in September, on September 18th and 19th, we had a Connect Group Expo outside, but also from the pulpit, Pastor Skip was teaching on the presidential elections and how we're to conduct ourselves. And just a little recap of that message is, you know, the children of Israel, when they were in captivity, they were sent to Babylon, and Jeremiah in chapter 29, he talked about how the Lord instructed the children of Israel to conduct themselves even in captivity. He said, you know, get involved in the culture. He said, you know, build houses, have children. Don't just be one of these rebels who's storing up ammunition and trying to overthrow the government. He said, no, get involved. Occupy until I come. And so caveating off of that message, Romans 13 has a lot to say about how Christians, New Testament believers, are to conduct themselves in submission to the government. So, as you know, we have a very important election coming up, and that's why we chose to teach this message now in October, because we got some responsibilities to take care of here in a couple weeks as the voting polls open up. And we're not here to talk about candidates today, so please don't be misled. We are not here to talk about candidates. We're here to talk about us as the believers, as the body of Christ. So, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to vote. We have a responsibility to be involved in civil government. We have a responsibility to support righteous legislation. And to, I'll just be blunt, if you don't vote, if you don't take action, you're lazy. You're lazy. And Proverbs says that, you know, if you are, how does it put it? If you're lazy, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. That having no overseer or ruler, you know, they gather their food in the summer and they do the things without having to be told. So we shouldn't have to be told to go vote, but gentlemen, get out there and vote, okay? All right, so Romans 13, I want to give you a little bit of a context of what's going on in this time in history. So Paul is writing to the Romans, actually in Rome, to the church in Rome. They said at this point in time the church was fairly large. It consisted of Jewish believers now who believed in Christ, and also Gentiles. And so it was a large group. And so Paul is writing this very large letter. It's the largest letter, or the largest epistle that he wrote. And during this time in history, Paul writes the letter during 57 AD. All right. Now, a couple of years prior to that, there was a new Roman emperor who was crowned. His name was Caesar Nero. And he was not elected, but he took power in 54 AD. So he had already been in power for about 3 years. And now Paul is writing this letter to the Romans after Nero has been in power. So a little bit of historical fact about Caesar Nero. All right. He was considered by the Roman people, by his own people, he was considered to be compulsive and corrupt. All right. Towards the end of his reign, there was an uprising, and he was denounced as a public enemy, he was going to be executed, but instead he ended up committing suicide. All right. Now, during his reign, he did some evil things. He executed his own mother. Okay. He poisoned his half brother because his half brother was like next in line to be the emperor. So he said, "Nah, there's not going to be any competition. I'm taking him out." So he kills his half brother. He was known, for those of you that are history buffs, Caesar Nero was known for capturing Christians in Rome. He would capture them. He would put them on these little poles in his garden, and he would wrap them with oil and other flammable materials, and he would light them on fire to light up his garden at night. He would do this to Christians. He was an evil, evil, evil man. But as we look into the scripture, we're gonna see what Paul instructs the Roman believers on how they're to conduct themselves with the civil government. So remember, they're not dealing with a democracy like we have. We're blessed with a democracy where we can vote. These believers are dealing with a dictator who pretty much will pick you out because you're a Christian and light you on fire so he can light up his garden at night. All right, so that's the context of what we're dealing with. So turn with me to verse 1, Romans chapter 13. It says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God." So stop there. So if you notice that word, it says, "Let every soul," meaning everybody, "let every soul be subject." So that Greek word, subject, it can be translated as a Greek military term. So it means to arrange troop divisions, like get in a formation under a commander. And then if it can also be used in a non-military use, and it means a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, or carrying out a burden. So that word, I think we're very clear on what that word means, to be subject. So Paul is basically saying, hey, I know Caesar Nero's an evil ruler. I know he's bad. But you as a Christian are to be subject to those governing authorities. So why would I want to be subject to an evil ruler like that? But it says in that second sentence in the same verse, "For there's no other authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." So you're saying Caesar Nero was appointed by God? God appointed Caesar Nero? That's a tough pill to swallow for many of us. But that's what the Bible says. We teach the Bible, and that's what it says. It says that. So if you look at this, you could say, well, maybe this is an isolated point of Scripture, and maybe it doesn't spread all throughout the text. So let's go back in time, and we're going to see that the Bible supports this claim that Paul is saying that verse 1 through 4. 1 Timothy, just a little to the left, chapter 2. It's a small book, so it's kind of hard to find. I'll give you a little bit of time. First Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Paul, speaking to Timothy, says, "Therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and," look at that, "giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth." So Paul, who knows how evil Caesar Nero is telling Timothy, who also lives in the Roman government, to give prayers, supplications, intercessions, and thanks. And thanks. When was the last time we gave thanks for President Obama? Or the last time we gave thanks for those that are in authority? It's what the Word of God says we should be doing. It's what the Word of God says we should be doing. So with that, gentlemen, we're going to, before we go into our groups, we're gonna have a little time of prayer. We're going to have a time of repentance, and we're going to pray for those that are in office. Okay? So bow your heads, gentlemen. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the sharp, sharp sword of your word, Lord. It cuts all of us, Lord. We are all guilty, Lord, of slandering those in authority, self-included, Lord. And we repent. Lord, we thank you for opening our eyes to the scriptures of the wrong that it is to slander our authority, Lord, whether that be in social media or in conversations at work. Lord, we repent, Lord, and we need to turn from that. And we thank you, Lord, for President Obama. We thank you, Lord, for those that are in authority, the Secretary of State, Lord. We thank you for this government that we have. And we pray and we intercede for them. We pray that they would be saved and they would come to the knowledge of Christ. We pray that they would make godly decisions. We pray that for those coming into office in November, Lord, that you would speak to them. You would use people in government to witness to them. We pray that they would come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, Lord, and they would make godly decisions, Lord. And we submit to their authority because you've placed them there. Whether we like the policy or not, Lord, we submit to you first. And by submitting to you, we submit to them because that's your mandate, Lord. Father, we ask for your forgiveness for our Facebook posts. We ask for your forgiveness for our bumper stickers. We ask for forgiveness for just the things that we've said and defamed those that you put in authority. Forgive us, Lord. And put on our hearts to pray for those leaders, Lord, whether it be our bosses, whether it be our governor, our mayor. Lord, if we don't agree with them, may we pray for them, Lord. You said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So, Lord, we submit to you. We thank you, Lord, for the country that we live in. We thank you that we have a right to vote and the privilege to vote. Lord, as many of us have seen the conditions of other nations around this world, we're thankful that we get to live in the United States of America. We're thankful that we get to be a part of this church community and worship freely. Lord, and if persecution does come, Lord, we pray that you would give us the patience. We pray that you would give us the endurance and the strength to endure it and be a good witness to those around us, Lord, enduring persecution with patience. And Lord, we pray that you would still allow this nation to worship you openly and freely, Lord, but your will be done. Not our will, but your will be done, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your witness. And if there is a man here today, Lord, that does not know you, Lord, we pray that your word would penetrate his heart, that he would see his need for a Savior, and that he would come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that Jesus died for his sins so that he could go to heaven, Lord. Let him not worry about being in the bathroom for eternity. Lord, there is a plane waiting for him, one of two planes, Lord, and we pray that he would get on the plane to heaven. Lord, and the only way to get through is the gate of Jesus Christ, Lord. So we pray for anybody that does not know you, Lord, and we pray for the discussions, Lord. May there be true repentance, true confession, Lord, and getting on the right track, Lord. May we turn and do the right thing in your eyes, Lord. May we not be stubborn. May we just humble ourselves. So we thank you, Lord, and we pray for our nation. We pray for each man here, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, gentlemen, go ahead and kick into your groups. We got about 55 minutes.